Now, I was reading an article in the Sunday Independent over the weekend written by Sean McGoldrick that says 4 years after being on the cusp of a career breakthrough in professional boxing, Caitlin Phelan is ready to roll the dice again. But this is a different Caitlin Phelan from the 20-year-old who went to Germany in the middle of the COVID pandemic and outclassed the local unbeaten heroine Jessica Shadko in her home gym to secure 3 world belts in her only her 4th professional fight. And we're told we're meeting now Caitlin Phelan 2.0. And Caitlin is with me in studio. Good to have you in, Caitlin, and good to see you again. And there's a quote here in the paper that says, "You're now the best version of yourself who admitted that you contemplated ending your life due to depression and anxiety." We'll get to that in a moment. First of all, how are you doing now? How's things?
Good. Like, I'm in the best place mentally and physically that I can be in a very, very long time, and just buzzing to get back in the ring. I can't wait.
Yeah, how long has it been since you had your last fight then?
So it would have been 3.5 years ago since my last fight. I got actually injured and I had to get an operation on my elbow, so that kept me out a little bit longer than what I hoped for. I've a lovely little scar on my elbow at the moment, so, but yeah, no, just 3.5 years is a long time. So
it is a long time, and I know you're back training and you have a fight coming up now on the 12th of April. Did you find it hard to get back into the swing of things, because it's not like you just took a couple of weeks out, you know? 3.5 years, you probably, did you just pick up from where you left off, or did you feel you had to go back to basics?
It's a bit of both, to be honest. It's like, it was a little bit difficult at first because I was so used to kind of just being lazy, to be completely honest. Like, I didn't want to train, didn't want to do anything, obviously, when I was in my dark patch. And then I just kind of, it's like I woke up one morning, hit a switch and was like, yeah, I want to do this again. And just, I got back training, myself and my boyfriend Shane. He helped me through an awful lot of it, and he just kind of kept pushing me and saying, look, you can do this, you got it. So we used to get up, we used to train together, and then one day I just said, look, I want to give it another shot at boxing. And it's literally, it's like riding a bike. Like, it just comes back naturally, and just, yeah, no, it's good to be back, so.
You've been boxing since, I think, the age of 6, you know, maybe probably even before that, but that's 14, 15 years before you took that little bit of a break that you were boxing for so long.
Yeah.
So you've had to be disciplined for those years. Did you think maybe, in a way, the break was good?
Oh, best decision I ever made. I know a lot of people are saying, oh, you would have been a lot bigger and a lot higher up in the rankings and you would have been signed by this and that. But to be completely honest, there was no point me going further when I wasn't in a headspace for it. Like, obviously things would have been a lot bigger, I would have got a lot more publicity, and there was genuinely no point when my heart and my head weren't ready for that at that time. The best decision I made in my life was to take that time away. And I came back and I said, I'm doing it for me this time. Like I was boxing since age of 5 or 6, and it was my whole life. Like, a lot of kind of teenagers, they're kind of out with friends, out partying, drinking, stuff like that. I never done that through my teenage life. And it was just nice to have a little bit of a break and just not worry about, oh, I'm going to have a chocolate bar. Well, I can't eat that chocolate bar. Like, if I wanted something to eat, I would have it. Whereas boxing is very strict like that. Obviously, a lot of people kind of manage it and stuff like that. But it's kind of, it's good to be back at it and kind of have that kind of discipline and mindset of an athlete again.
Back to that fight that I referenced there in just around COVID, when you went over to Germany, you were on the brink, as people would say, on the brink of big things. And people would say that you could have been bigger, as you've mentioned there. Yeah. Did you feel as though maybe pressure was getting to you at all? Or what do you think, if anything, sparked that dark patch that you went through?
So, obviously, I didn't expect it to be as big as it was. I knew it was a big thing winning titles, but then again, I didn't expect the backlash behind it. Like, you're going to get good people giving you praise and stuff like that, but you also had the negative ones as well. And I didn't kind of think I would be getting the negative ones as much as I did. I got an awful lot of negative comments from certain people, and it kind of just, when you were in a boxing ring, you have such a big high when you win. Like, the high is probably bigger than any drink or drugs that people do. And then 2 or 3 days later, you hit a certain low, and that low is very, very low, and then you have all the negative comments on top of that. I just didn't know how to deal with it. Like, I genuinely didn't know what to do, didn't know who to turn to. And just, instead of actually standing up and speaking out and saying, look, I'm struggling with it, don't know what to do, these people are saying this, I tried to hold it into myself, and it was the worst thing I ever done.
I remember speaking to Eric Donovan, actually, and he said something similar. You know, when because it's such a personal sport. You're in the ring, you're on your, you have your team in your corner, but it's you versus somebody else. If you win, that high, I'm sure, is fantastic. But if you lose, having put in the work that you've put in, it can probably bring you to a very dark place.
Yeah.
What, I suppose, made you then reach out for help? And who did you tell first that this is not just me feeling a little bit low, this is getting a bit more serious?
Yeah, so Shane kind of noticed it in me. It was over kind of a couple of weeks, to be honest. He kind of noticed I wasn't myself. Like, everyone was like, oh, you're not the bubbly, happy girl that you used to be. And just, there was no point, really. Like, I genuinely didn't feel like there was a point of doing anything. I didn't want to get up in the mornings, didn't want to go for a run or training, or didn't even want to go out for a walk with the dog. And he kind of noticed it. And then I said to him and I said to my mum, look, I'm struggling. And we kind of just tried to work on it, and I tried to work on it myself over a few days and a few weeks, and I wasn't getting anywhere. It was just getting worse and worse, and like I said, I didn't want to get out of bed, and that was kind of the big point for me. I didn't want to get up, whereas I used to get so excited to get up in the mornings because I had something to live for, whereas then I was like, I really don't feel like it. I don't want to do it. And I said, Shane, look, I need help. And it was Shane, he brought me over to A&E. And I went into the doctor, into A&E, and I said, look, I'm struggling. I do feel quite suicidal. I'm afraid that if I don't ask for the help now, I don't know what I'm capable of doing. And it was a big turning point, and I'm really glad I did. And I'm glad that I asked for the help, because I wouldn't be sitting here today if I didn't. So,
have you ever felt that, or did you ever feel that before? You know, because I know back in your school days you went through, you know, a tough period, but had it ever gotten that bad, or was that just something completely different? You never felt that before?
Never as bad or to the extent of what I got. Like, obviously back when I was in school, social media was kind of only coming up, whereas social media is a big thing now. Like, I came off all social media for, I'd think, 3 or 4 months when I was feeling rough, because you see someone online and you try and compare yourself to them. You're like, oh geez, they look so happy, like they have the best life ever. And then if you talk to them, you're like, no, I'm not doing that great. Like, I just want to let people think I am. Like, that's the worst thing about it. And like, again, like, it is social media, I think, that is an awful lot of the problems with even a lot of kids today. Like, my coach Dan was running a fundraiser there at the weekend for mental health charity up in Belfast, and the lady was saying to him that there's kids as young as 4 coming in with anxiety. Like, I genuinely couldn't get over that. Like, that is mental to think. And I just wish that people would reach out as well. And like, I'm here for someone. If someone's listening to this day and they're having a really bad time, give me a text on Instagram, give me a text on Facebook. I will be there to listen and I will help them. So
So when you went into A&E then, what happened? What was the next step then? You spoke to some of the doctors, I'm sure. What did you say to them, and what help did you get?
So I said, so I went in, I think I sat in the waiting room for about 3 hours, which was quite a short time considering. And I think I cried for the whole amount of time. It was obviously during COVID still, so I was by myself, which made things a lot worse. Like, Shane was waiting in the car park. My coaches came and they were kind of waiting. My parents were there, and but no one could come in with me. And obviously I had the support system there, but I just felt so alone. And doctors, they help, but they don't help. Like, they just see you as a patient. They don't give a shit what you're going through, really. Like, they have so many things going on. And when they brought me in, they're like, oh, like, fill out this form. So I filled it out, and they're like, look, we're not going to keep you in. We'll send you home. We don't think you're that bad. And I was like, okay. And they're going, go to your local GP. So I booked in the next morning with my GP. I think I got home, I think it was like 2 or 3 a.m. after going, I think, about 8 or 9 to the hospital. Like, and I went into my local GP. It was Dr. Collins in Kildare. And he prescribed me antidepressant. And I was always the person that said, I will never take tablets. I absolutely hate them. And to be honest, I've changed my mindset completely. Because if I didn't have them tablets to help me at that period of time, like, I wouldn't have got the help that I needed.
But it's nothing to be ashamed about. I think there is maybe that stigma that, I mean, I don't want to take anti, depressants or anti-anxiety medication, but yeah. you know yourself from boxing, if you get a whack in the head and you've a headache the next day, you'll take paracetamol, yeah, exactly. you know? So, yeah. you know, they're just another tablet that you take
it's
once or twice a day.
It's just that little bit of help to give you, like, a little bit of a step up the ladder. Yeah. Like, it's not saying that's what you're going to be on for your whole life. It's going to say that's a little bit of help to kind of get you back on the right track. And I'm glad that I took them.
Yeah, I'd say going through your mind as well, did you feel a little bit in between and possibly a little bit of guilt because, you know, you mentioned there you had that support from Shane and from your family as well. But even though you have that support network, you still feel alone. Yeah. And it's a very hard thing to even understand that, well, why, you know, everybody says that they love me. Mm. Everybody says that they're here for me. But I still don't feel that.
I didn't care. I couldn't think of anything else. I was just feeling so low and so down that no matter who said they were there for me, it didn't matter. Like, it was like one in one ear and out the other. And I know everyone showed me and supported me and I'm forever grateful for it. But at that period of time, it could have been the President of Ireland standing beside me and I wouldn't have cared. Mm. I knew how I felt and it was a hard time to change my mindset at that time. But like I said, I did, and I'm glad I did.
I want to we'll go to the positive and the fact that you got your spark back and you're back boxing and all of that.
Yeah.
But when you say that you were suicidal and contemplating and ending your life, how scary is that? Those thoughts, to even think those thoughts.
It's terrifying, absolutely terrifying. Like, I'm quite blessed and quite lucky and grateful for what I have in my life. Like, I have a house over my, or a roof over my head. I have a good loving family and I have Shane, which I'd be so lost without, but none of it matters. Like I said, you have only one thing on your mind and it's so scary, so dark. Like, you could, like, anything that you loved, you just don't love anymore. Like, my boxing was my passion and I hated it. I despise it. I couldn't even watch it on TV anymore. I just absolutely hated it. Even the thought of boxing, or if someone asked me, oh, when's your next fight? I got so angry. And then my anger turned into crying. So, like, I was just constantly crying all the time. And everyone looks at you and like, oh, you're this big, hardy boxer. You're meant to be really tough.
Mm.
I was just like a crybaby. Like, I just cried and cried and cried. And I don't mind saying it. Like, I'm very soft. But it was, like, it's hard to even talk about because you genuinely are in such a dark place. Like, it doesn't matter. Even my cat and my dog, I didn't give a shit about them. Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
You're all right. But when did you get that spark back then? Was it after you went to the doctor and you got that medication and people started rallying around you again that you came out of it then? How did you come out the other side?
So it took me, I'd say, about 2 years. To be completely honest, I started off training in the gym. I started doing a bit of CrossFit, which was the total opposite of boxing. I started off myself and Shane doing that in the gym, and then I just slowly just added in more little bits. And then one day I said, you know what, I'll throw my wraps and my gloves on, I'll hit the bags. And I started just doing that. And like I said, I got the operation on my elbow, so I was trying to kind of be a bit cautious about that. It took me a while to kind of get it in my head. You can throw it again, like, it's perfectly fine. Mm. Don't be afraid. But it just started off adding little bits every day. And like I said, I know Shane will probably give out to me for constantly saying it, but he was my lifeline. And I'm so glad I had someone like that there to listen to me, to deal with my shit again and throw tissues at me and throw chocolate at me when I was crying.
Yeah. So what's the plan going forward then? You've a fight coming up on the 12th of April. You've been training in Kildare Town, training in Belfast as well.
Yeah, so my next fight is April 12th. It's called The Fast Lane is the name of the show. It's with JB Promotions. It'll be in the Red Cow. It's actually The Warehouse, it's called. So I can't wait. I'm buzzing to get back. Just get back fighting and show people, look, I know I was away, but I'm here and I'm back. Like, you're going to know my name again quite soon. But, like, I have a new management, which is Ian Cochran. And, like, he'll Well, sorry. He warned me, I had to say, he's the best manager in the whole wide world. So,
according to him?
According to him, yeah. Right. And I have a new coach as well, Dan Anderson, up in Belfast. So I'm travelling up and down to Belfast and just, I have that spark back inside me and I'm excited.
Yeah. So. Well, you can see it anyway. And listen, thanks so much for coming in to us, for sharing your story. Yeah. And I'm glad that you have that spark back and we look forward to following your career as well, you know, over the next while. So the 12th of April, that fight is going to happen?
Yeah, so the 12th of April. And I just want to say a massive thank you to my sponsors that helped me out with camp for this fight. So we've Lucky Day Competitions, Mellow Coffee Bar and Bistro, Hairbell, Knockline and Auto Pint, Wolf Cycles, Next Level Rehab and Recovery, Rico Tech International, Seventh Catering, Val's Cabs in a Tie, and Aidan Keegan, which is Shane's stepdad. He sponsored, helped me out with my fight gear. And I also just want to say good luck to my two campmates, Owen O'Neill and Conor Kerr. They're fighting actually on Saturday night up in Belfast as well. So I'm excited to go up and watch them kind of get the wins and just do well.
Good stuff. Caitlin Phelan, thanks so much for coming in to us and good to talk to you again. Look
Thank
after
you very
yourself.
Much.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Okay, thanks again to Caitlin Phelan coming into us in studio this morning. James McGowan in Suncroft says, great honesty from Caitlin. She has a great family behind her. Her dad, Paddy, is a great driving force. Best of luck in the future from James. A reminder as well that our competition lines are open this morning. We have two family passes for the National Stud in Kildare Town to give away, a Lily O'Brien's hamper as well, and a €50 voucher for Burr Town House. All to give away before 11 o'clock. To be in with a chance of winning, text the word STUD, Lily or Burrtown, depending on which prize you want to be in with a chance of winning, to 0833 97 97 97. Social Democrats councillor Chris Pender is with me on the line now. Chris, good morning to you. You want to Kildare County Council to add a stop on Dublin Street in Monastrevin in the southbound direction towards Port Laois as an area for consideration for a bus shelter. Where exactly is this, Chris, and what response did you get from the council?
Yeah, so this would be the bus shelter that's in Monastrevin, the bus stop that's in Monastrevin on the way to Port Laois. So it's right there on the Dublin Road. Anybody using the bus to get to Monastrevin, it's where they have to get off generally. But I've been contacted by a number of people, and in fact, I've put this forward on behalf of Pat Balfe, that we have people who are going to work in Port Laois from Monastrevin or to other areas from Monastrevin for that matter, and they're having to sit out in the rain and the wind and then sit in a bus in the rain and then have to obviously deal with being soaking wet when they get into work or school or wherever. So it's what I've said before, Owen, in relation to bus shelters and wanting people to use public transport. If we want them to use public transport, we have to make sure that it's as usable as possible, and that includes the infrastructure that goes around with it. Now, KCC have said that they will add it to the for consideration to the list of the upcoming improvements to the shelters.
Okay, good stuff. If we go from Monastrevin then to Newbridge, you wanted the council to provide an update on the situation regarding works to be completed on the junction box at the traffic lights there at the Watering Gates entrance to Liffey Linear Park.
Now, one of the first issues I had with this is the report I got back off KCC for the meeting was actually in relation to a completely different location. Now, they had promised that they would come back to me with an answer specifically in relation to the location that I mentioned. But in saying that, this is an area that's right there by the Watering Gates of Newbridge. There had been yellow barriers around it in excess of 15 months due to the ESB not completing their side of the works. KCC had done everything they needed to do, paid the bills, all of that kind of stuff, but the ESB just hadn't completed their side. Now, the other day, I just happened to be walking by the space, and it's done, it's cleared, it's re-concreted, so it looks absolutely amazing. But it does go to highlight that oftentimes some of the works that were getting done in the town, the delays around them aren't necessarily KCC, and that other statutory or semi-state agencies have to start stepping up and do their job as well. And that includes ESB, Irish Water, all of those.
All right. I know that was there an issue in relation to the playground out there at Liffey Linear Park? Did I see on Facebook or something? We had James Garvin on the programme the other day to say that there was good news in relation to the Liffey Park. But were things being stolen from there or something the other day?
So two completely different playgrounds, first of all. The one that James would have been speaking about would have been the natural play space for Liffey Linear. And listen, I have my hopes up about that playground just as much as everybody else does. But timelines have been delayed before, so I'm not going to hold my breath until I actually see what's going on. But yeah, in relation to the playground down in Beelham Woods, there was a group of about 13 young people down and basically just stealing stuff from the site of the playground that's due to be open down there for the residents. And listen, you and I both know that, like, I mean, I do believe that there's more things needed for young people within our towns and villages, absolutely. But wanton destruction is not the answer. Like, I mean, if they were simply hanging out there and doing nothing wrong, I don't think anybody would have cared. But it was the fact that they actually started stealing stuff and walking away with it.
All right, okay, it's a strange one.
Yeah, it's a very strange one. I did speak to the guards about it yesterday, and they did go down and have a chat with the young people that were left. The young people then moved on, and they haven't been in the playground since. But from speaking about it on Facebook, I've heard there's other issues, obviously, in relation to what's going on in and around that area. So I'll be liaising with the residents to see what we can do.
All right. Finally, Chris, can the council provide a list of properties that the council either owns or has an interest in and any land under their ownership in the municipal district that they're currently aware of?
Yeah, well, I got a rather comprehensive list of different individual areas. Now, I suppose part of the reason why I was asking for this is we do need to, like, we have the Newbridge local area plan coming up. Obviously, the pre-draft consultation was a number of months ago, and we've just gotten the reports from that pre-draft consultation, which are up online now on the Consult website. But I would be of the opinion that if we want to be pushing for the zoning of land, or we want to be pushing for the allocation of land for specific amenities, be that a swimming pool, be that a much larger playground, but like any kind of the amenities that people in Newbridge are looking for, then the first thing that we should be looking at is what's in our ownership first. Don't get me wrong. Should we look at purchasing properties that come up that may be suitable? Yes, but we need to know what we have and what's to hand and in front of us, first of all. Now, there were a couple of sites I had assumed were under the ownership of KCC. They're not. And there were a couple of sites that I had assumed weren't under the ownership of KCC, and they are. So it will be interesting going forward to have discussions with KCC around what we can do with what's in our ownership.
Social Democrats councillor on the Kildare Newbridge Municipal District, Chris Pender. Thanks for that, Chris, and good morning. Just a message that has come in commending Caitlin Phelan on the interview there. She says, well done to Caitlin for speaking so openly about her mental health. She is a shining light for others. Best of luck to her now with her boxing career going forward again. And that comes in from Liz in Kildare Town. Let's go down to the Monastrevin area then with Fine Gael councillor Kevin Duffy. Kevin, welcome back to the programme, and some of the local issues that you've raised with Kildare County Council. First of all, you wanted them to install barriers on the footpath outside the new St Paul's Secondary School in Monastrevin to improve the pedestrian safety of students there.
Yes, thanks, Owen. So this is in relation to the new secondary school and the junction upgrade works that have happened there. With 850 students coming out of school, there's a natural, I guess, inclination to kind of cross the road immediately on the junction without maybe using the lights and stuff like that. And to make it safer and just corral students onto that initial part of the footpath, we got asked if they can consider the installation of kind of barriers and fences at that location around the junction to improve the safety. And I'm glad the council have been open to that, and there is a wider scheme being done around safer routes to school, and they're going to include it into the planning for that work.
Okay, what about the update on the Monastrevin active travel and safer routes to school design? Any sign of a part 8 there?
Yeah, I am hopeful we're getting closer. I'm trying to get the council to start the Part 8 process in the next couple of months. It was announced over 2 years ago. There's been a lot of good design work done, which looks at reconfiguration of footpaths and walkways along the Dublin Road from Cowpasture back to New Lodge Cross, up to the secondary school, and then further down to the Nag's Head and Drottida Street to the new primary school, which is under construction. And one of my big drivers is with the new primary school under construction, phase one is now complete and the school is occupying it, and they're now demolishing the old school to start phase two, which will incorporate the new entrance. And I want to make sure that the safer routes to school project can be done in parallel with that project, so it makes it easier for kids to walk and cycle to the new primary school when we have the amalgamation of both the boys' school and the girls' school on the one site.
We're kind of keeping on a similar theme in relation to schools. We spoke to Martin Hayden on the programme on Monday and Fiona O'Loughlin, Mark Wall yesterday, but I just want to get your views on the new special school. It's going into Craddockstown in Naas temporarily. I know yourself and Martin Hayden and a couple of others have called for the former St Paul's Secondary School to be used to accommodate that new school. Do you think it still should go there?
Yeah, listen, I'm glad to hear there's an announcement for September, and it's going to provide, I suppose, a small number of 24 places initially in September. So that's a positive announcement that it's not going to be delayed any further, because the need for these special place school places is chronic. So supporting families in that is very important. I do think there's a site here in Monastrevin, obviously the old St. Paul's Secondary School site wasn't suitable for 850 students that the town requires, but it's still a very viable and very important piece of infrastructure in the area. And I think I call on the Department of Education to, you know, try to advance plans for it, whether it is a special school or other plans. I'd hate to see it sitting there idle when we have such demand for student places in South Kildare.
All right. Finally then, Kevin, what's the latest in relation to the Blue Way, particularly around the Monastrevin area? What's happening there?
Positive work's happening. It's coming to an end or getting closer every week. But both with Kildare County Council and Waterways Ireland, a section of works that is being completed now is the Canal Harbour, which has seen some amazing restoration of the stone walls in the harbour and the harbour banks being fully restored, with some actual old features like Crow's Bridge, which was actually partly buried, been unearthed and made visible. To do them works, they had to drain the canal between the aqueduct and the railway station, and they're now preparing for tomorrow to start to refill that section of canal to open it up to navigation, along with roadworks for the road and footpath cycle infrastructure. It's really starting to come together, and it's an amazing asset and facility for the people locally and for tourism, hopefully, into the future.
Great stuff. Fine Gael councillor on the Kildare Newbridge Municipal District around the Monastrevin area, Kevin Duffy. Thanks for your time.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Crime Watch on KFM.
With Manguard Plus, Ladytown Business Park, Naas. We keep it secure and safe 24 hours a day. 045 408 300.
Okay, joining me in studio this morning is Garda Jonjo O'Connell from the Naas Roads Policing Unit. Jonjo, good to talk to you again and welcome back to studio. Quite a lot to get through this morning. I know Gardaí are seeking assistance and witnesses regarding a number of burglaries around the county in the last week.
Yeah, so I just have a few burglaries here I'd like to go through that happened in the last 6 or 7 days. But I call out the phone numbers of the Garda stations who are investigating these incidents, but also just at the start, the Garda confidential line is 1-800-666-111. We had a burglary in Cara, Naas there, just outside Naas, last Thursday. That was the 21st of March, in around just after 5 o'clock. So I suppose people would be returning home from work. We had two males entered the back door of this house. It's actually out in Raheen's in Cara. They broke in through the patio door, gained access, went through the house, ransacked, took some amount of jewellery, like, but it's I suppose it's the interference with the house and the damage which is major concern. We have witnesses, and they saw these two males running from the house and getting into a black car. I just leave it like that at the moment. But our inquiries are ongoing, and our investigators are checking CCTV and other inquiries around the area. So Naas Gardaí are investigating that. That's 045-884-300. So last Thursday evening, around 5 o'clock, people were coming and going home from work. Two males got into a black car there. So any information at all. And I will also say, with any of these incidents, if you think it's insignificant or small information, just ring us and let us decide that, you know. We had a burglary in Kilcock last Thursday evening, or last Thursday during the day, in Fana. It's just out near Dunedee Forest Park there, actually, between Painstown and Dunedee Forest Park. There's a house burgled while these people were away at work. They broke in through the back door, was forced open, a screwdriver was used on the frame. The main bedroom was, and other rooms were ransacked, and some jewellery was taken from this house as well, up to about 1,500, 2,000 euros worth. So Kilcock Gardaí are actually investigating that incident. So if you saw anything in around that area, it's a quiet area, as you know yourself. I know there would be people coming and going for walks in around Dunedee and that, but a quiet area. And if you saw anything unusual in around Dunedee Forest Park, Fana area, give Kilcock Gardaí a ring, please, on 01-628-7202. The next one, we have a burglary out in the country again, in this time in Carberry, out in a place called Ballerinnet. The locals would know what I'm talking about there, all right. It's on the road roughly between Carberry towards Broadford, into the left-hand side there. This happened last Saturday, during the day again. This person returned home and their house had been ransacked, entry grained through a back door again, and some items taken. But it's like, again, it's the damage and the interference to this person's house. So if you saw anything, Carberry Gardaí are investigating this, and their number is 046-955-3002. That's a burglary in Ballinrit, Carberry. We have also a burglary here. There was a house vacant for a couple of days last weekend, between Saturday and Monday, in Selbridge. It's the new housing estate there, up near the Apple Green, out to Maynooth Road, Ardrath Meadow. It's a new housing estate there in Selbridge. The locals would know it, and anyone who's using that road between Maynooth and Selbridge. There was a house was broken into there over the weekend, between Saturday and Monday morning. Forced windows and a substantial amount of domestic appliances and power tools taken there, up in excess of 2,000 euros worth. So if anyone saw anything unusual, maybe, you know, you could have people genuinely moving in or out of the place, but something that looked like, you know, maybe there was a van needed for this, whatever, give us a call on that. The Gardaí and Selbridge are investigating that burglary last weekend in Ardrath Meadows in Selbridge, 01-628-8222. That's Selbridge Gardaí. The last burglary I have actually happened in St. Joseph's Church out in Gormanstown, Kilcullen, out to Dunlavin Road there. The church was broken into last Sunday evening and into Sunday evening into Monday morning, I suppose. So the church was, damage to, there was a, basically, a, I suppose a poor box was ripped off the wall, you know. So there was more, the damage was cost more than maybe what was in it. The few bits and pieces of coins and donations from people there. But that was out in St. Joseph's Church last Sunday night. So if you saw anything unusual out there, the Gardaí and Kilcullen would be anxious to hear from you. And their number, of course, is 045-481212. Yeah, that's the church out in Gormanstown there.
That one out in Gormanstown, we reported on this yesterday. It now actually has to close during the week, because that was the third burglary or incident like that out in the church since Christmas. So they are going to have their Easter celebrations, but they had to close the church during the week. And I know there was also a couple of nights ago in Cairnhill Meadows in Kilcullen as well, a laptop stolen from a car at around about 2:45 a.m. So, like, this is unusual. Breaking into a church is very unusual.
Yeah, and like, we're not here to advertise, you know, the churches in particular, but any voluntary charitable religious organisations. You know, there's a terrible amount of voluntary work going into these things, and like I said, the damage caused is into the hundreds of euro here. maybe more than what was in the poor box in the instance, you know. Mm. A lot of these burglaries I've talking about, if you see, there's no criminal masterminds here. Like, if people are ripping open doors with screwdrivers and other kind of ignorant implements, you know, and they're just kind of in and out as quick as they can, you know. But that's just, we're hoping that if there's any witnesses, and like I said, any small information that you think it's insignificant, let us decide that. Ring those Garda stations, you know, or ring any Garda station and pass on the information.
You're also seeking assistance or a witness regarding a robbery. This time, was it out in Newbridge?
Yeah, in Newbridge there, actually late last night, at about 10 to 10 last night in Newbridge. It's the Apple Green there, which is, I suppose it's called the Apple Green in Moorfield. It would be the Apple Green there, would be near to the McDonald's that burnt down in Newbridge, across from Dunn Stores there. So there was a robbery there last night. A lone male, he entered a shop, he produced a knife, which is, you know, quite threatening and scary for the people who to witness that and the staff inside, and demanded money from the cashier and made off with a sum of money, a lump of cash, you know. Now, this, I was talking to the investigators actually only in the last hour about this, just so the description is a male, 6'2", so quite tall, slim build. There was a grey hood involved in the clothes anyway, with a navy top of sorts with a short sleeve navy jacket over that. Navy, of course, again, navy Nike tracksuit bottom, and there was dark Nike runners. So if you were in around that area, the Moorfield area, Apple Green, now this guy ran off in the direction of the Standhouse Road, which is actually behind the Apple Green, heading for Morristown Baylor is what we'd know it, but on the Standhouse Road there. And if you saw anything in Apple Green, you know, I suppose I'm saying this happened at 10 to 10 last night. You know, you're looking at a build-up, maybe if there's anything unusual, a half an hour before that and the immediate aftermath, heading off from the station, Standhouse Road, sorry, and in that area, Newbridge Gardaí are looking for any information that you may have in relation to that, and that's 045 431212. Or if the person wants to give himself up, either, we'll be happy to deal with them as well, you know.
All right, finally, before we let you go, John Joe, Easter bank holiday weekend, we're enjoying all these bank holidays at the start of the year, I think, but it's important to be careful out and about on the roads as well.
Yeah, I suppose I work in the roads policing unit in Naas, who cover the Kildare division, along with our colleagues in Atai as well, and all guards. But over this weekend, on Garda Síochána in Kildare, we'll be mounting a significant roads policing operation to help keep down the deaths and serious injuries over the bank holiday weekend that were coming up. We're starting this on Thursday morning. Now, every 7 days a week, 365 we're at this, but there's going to be a particular focus on enforcement in a lot of the headline offences, lifesaver offences, what we call them, which would be speeding, seatbelts, mobile phones, and of course, drinking, drug driving, and dangerous driving, you know. We have had numerous arrests. I just checked this morning, the last week, to give you some small stats without boring anyone, but these are quite horrific anyway. In 2023, so last year, we had a total of 3 fatalities in Kildare. This year so far, we've had 4. Right, okay, so we've exceeded what we had last year. Throughout the country up to today, there's been 54 people killed on our roads in 49 collisions. They will include pedestrians, drivers of cars, passengers in those cars, motorcyclists and their pillion passengers, and also pedal cyclists. So, you know, that's covering everybody. So no matter what you do, once you get out of your house, whether you're walking or driving a truck or everything in between, you're a road user. So we're looking for everybody just to, you know, behave, enjoy the weekend. You know, I suppose Easter is a big, big date in the calendar. You know, enjoy it. But just if you're heading out, having a drink, have your designated driver, have your taxis lined up, have your lifts lined up coming from home. If you're walking, make sure you have the right gear on you, you know, be lit up and seen. And we just like everyone to enjoy the weekend, but just be safe. We'll be out there. If you see me on the side of the road, just say hello. Hello back.
Garda John Joe O'Connell from the Naas Roads Policing Unit. Great to have you in studio as always. Thanks, John Joe.
Crime Watch on KFM.
With Manguard Plus, Ladytown Business Park, Naas. PSA licensed. 045 408 300 or manguardplus.ie.